Got security issues? You need an SSL certificate from GoDaddy.com, giving your site up to 256-bit encryption. Check it out. Use the code SCOTT. That's S-C-O-T-T when you check out at GoDaddy and get that SSL Turbo certificate for only $14.99. Thanks, GoDaddy, for being a sponsor of the show. The show is also sponsored by YouBuyNow.com, the best toys on the internet. The geek kind. You know what I'm talking about.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Oh no, Extra Life, get off there, Extra Life. Go away, shoo, shoo.
It has been a difficult day.
Oh my gosh, where'd they get the gremlin suit? I put poo up all the time.
Waza!
That's the stupidest name ever. Not enough Willy for my taste.
This is like E-Honda versus Guile.
We didn't get near enough Mo. Big ass robots fighting in the streets.
Thank you, boob lady.
Just wanted to ask Scott Ram Samir.
Is there any cheese to go with this wine?
You know what? That was kind of cheap.
It's old man Frank's again.
That's my best bush I've ever done. Nothing I like more than a good bloody blowout.
This is Extra Life Radio.
And now, word of advice from old man Frank's. Do not crash into the back of a propane-filled truck. It'll probably explode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR. Welcome back. This is the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. I'm Scott Johnson. It is Tuesday, August 7th, 2007. Here we are for yet another episode of Extra Life Radio on a fine Tuesday night. Joining me from left to right is Brian from MissionDeep.com. Brian, how's it going?
Alrighty, how are you?
You hear me just getting right into it today? Just jumping right in.
I love that. Yeah, I'm glad to be on the instance. Extra Life Radio.
Infendo.
I mean,
can you remember the name of the other one we're doing? Do you remember the name?
The Final Countdown.
The Final Countdown. Yeah, it's the Europe song, dude. Joining us, as always, is Obsidian from CommissionedComic.com. Really, pound for pound, one of the best daily comics you can read. Obsidian, welcome to the show.
And that's 145 pounds.
Wow, that's pretty good. Is that all you weigh?
Did he just call you fat?
Do you weigh?
Yeah, that's what I weigh.
You weigh 145. My gosh. Yeah. I weigh a lot more than you. I mean, I'm taller, too, but... How tall are you?
I'm like two of you.
how tall are you? You've told us before, but I can't remember. What's
your... I'm 5'4", 5'5".
Okay,
if I'm dilate, I'm 5'5".
When you dilate, is that what you said? What'd you say?
Yeah, if it's odd, I dilate.
Oh. All right. Well,
I'm about 5'4" and 145.
Well, I am 6'4", so a whole foot higher than you. Is that right? Yeah.
How about when you wear those Shaolin monk wooden sandal things? How tall are you then?
Yeah.
Actually, those are Japanese.
Oh. I figured they were fake. They were for video games only. People really wear those when they fight?
I don't know. When I go back in time and run into the camera, I'll tell you about it.
All right. Let us know. We'd really like to know. What was my point with that? Oh, I'm 215, 6'4". So, you're way down there. Anyway... Welcome to the show, everybody. Good to have both of you here. Good to have the chat room here. We have a bunch of people who will probably spam us and make us close it down early like last week. Hopefully not.
That was awesome.
Welcome to all of them. We have people like Biffin, Bones, Clive, Crazy Canuck. I think he's Canadian.
Hey, there's Carlos Leituga.
Murph Leituga. Seamus 22.
Carlos Leituga.
It's just, I don't know who this is. Who's this Seamus 22? He's new.
I've never heard of him.
Never heard of that guy.
Nope.
And a bunch of other people. So welcome to the show. 115 of you to start. That's a lot for the beginning of the show. But we appreciate you coming back despite the terrible quality of the microphone used by Scott Ram Sumer last week that nearly spelled the end of the program. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, where's Old Man Franks?
Old Man Franks is in there somewhere. Darn it. Okay, let's move on. We got a big show. Big stuff to talk about, but we have some business to clear out of the way first, okay? Here's the business we need to do. We got a birthday. I'm getting used to doing these birthdays. It's kind of fun. Are you guys all right with me doing these, by the way?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, you know, people are like, hey, it's my birthday. Will you mention it? I'd feel bad if I didn't. So I'm about to do it. Our birthday this week comes to us from Neil Monahan. It sounds like he might be from Ireland, don't you know? Do you mind mentioning my birthday on today's ELR? It is, let's see, it's the 12th? It's the 12th.
It's the 12th?
Anyway. You know, Scott, in my opinion, if you say that he asked you to mention his birthday, I don't think it has that much of a I don't know. What do you say?
Being no, in,
I
mean, you're it, right.
It
you're
must
right.
not feel that right if Scott says that he told.
Well, how else do you know? I mean, they have to tell me. Sometimes it's like a relative will say, hey, my boyfriend's turning 18 tomorrow. Could you talk about it on the show? But this
wow,
one,
you got a young boyfriend, Scott.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, so I'm thinking.
I can't tell what he wrote here. It literally says, if you don't mind mentioning my birthday on today's ELR, it's the 12th since there is no new ELR. Oh, maybe it means it's on the 12th.
Oh,
I got it.
It's on the 12th, yeah.
He forgot the TH. In Ireland, yeah. They don't mess with the TH. They don't use the ND either, don't you know? Hoi, 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 hoi. All right. So happy birthday to Neil. And all his leprechauns.
We need some kind of music or something for that.
No, we need a Extra Life Excited. Birthday announcement thing. Wouldn't that yeah. be cool? That'd be cool.
We could all come to your house and go, happy, happy birthday from...
Something, something else. My name is Neil Monahan.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a killjoy, but I would not do that.
All right. Well, don't do that.
Do they do that
I would
in
not
Columbia?
Go and clap like an idiot at your house.
Yeah, what do you do for birthdays? That? Yeah, that's a great question. What do you do
no,
for birthdays?
You know what we do? We do this amazing, exotic thing. We celebrate it. And we sing a happy birthday and we have cake.
Okay.
Yeah, but you go to like a restaurant and, you know, the people come out and sing an annoying song that is like a nothing like a perfect song. You'll have that with the clapping and the screaming.
And the whatnot.
If you ask them to,
yeah.
if you ask them
they'll
to,
spit
they'll
your
do
food.
It. But most of us, I mean, most people, we consider that annoying.
Oh.
I mean,
we do too. But people do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the getcha. When you go out with your friend, it's like, oh, it's his birthday.
Yeah,
let's go out to eat.
That's how they get you, dude. Gotta watch out. Watch out for that. All right. Should we do one more piece of business? We had a question from a listener. And by the way, I feel bad. Adam Christensen of the Matt Cast, he tried to call in last week. We totally missed it. And instead, we got Old Man Franks twice. Good times. Good times. okay. Josh. No. Sorry. This is from, I didn't get his name, but he wanted to know if we'd seen this. Let's play it and we'll talk about it.
Hey there, Scott, Brian, and Obsidian. This is Nathan calling from Charlotte. Just wondered if you guys had heard or even seen the leaked pilot for the new series in production, Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Okay, have we seen it? Have you seen it, Brian?
I've heard about it.
Yeah,
I've got it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Right.
I got a whole slew of... pre-air TV that I have started watching, and maybe we should do a show on that, maybe, or a little segment or something, maybe in a couple weeks.
Well,
but I haven't seen it yet.
I hear it's got that Summer Underchode or whatever her name is from Firefly in it, the crazy girl.
Sweet. I love her. Yeah. Gotta go watch it.
Yeah, I don't think Underchode is really her name.
No,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's not. But, it's not Kaylee, is it? It's not. It's the other. It's the crazy one. It's Summer or Phoenix or River. River, sorry. It's River Phoenix.
Yeah.
The ghost of River Phoenix.
Well, he did look like a girl, in a way.
Summer Glau. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. That is correct.
Yeah. But I heard about that thing, but I've never been a very big Sarah Connor fan. I always thought she was kind of lame.
Mm. Well,
yeah, she's just a human. Big freaking deal.
Yeah,
she's just the mother of...
She's kind of tough. I mean, isn't
yeah, I mean, she didn't save humanity. You know?
Who's in this movie? Who's in this show? Who stars in it? It's not the Summer Glau chick. It's not her, is it?
No, she can't be Sarah Connor.
No, she's too young and weird looking. Brian, you're the only one with a damn movie.
Cute.
I'm looking.
Okay, dude. You look that up, will you? Because that would
in
be
the
great.
Meantime, Scott and I will do the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
I keep having people in the chat room. By the way, I got to mention this. People in the chat room will sometimes yell in all caps and giant blue letters, Scott, say my name. I feel very
uncomfortable say my name.
About that. It's kind of sexual or something.
I'm telling you.
So I'm going to say his name.
Doesn't sound right.
No. If you say his name, people are just going to keep on doing that.
All right, I'm not doing it.
Okay, do it.
Sorry, Werhan. I'm not saying your name. Damn, I said it.
You said it.
Yeah, I said it anyway.
Summer Glay is Cameron.
Glay. Was it Glay? I thought it was Glau.
James Cameron?
Glay. G-L-A-U. How would you say it? Glau?
Gay
I would
Cameron.
Say Glau.
Gay Cameron.
Glau.
I had a friend. Whoa. I had a friend in high school.
Maybe you have to say it like you're choking.
I had a friend in high school. We used to call him Gay Cameron. What?
She gets top billing in this show. So I'm assuming that Sarah Connor gets like second billing in this, and it is Lena Headey.
Lena Headey, who's that?
And she has been in 300. She was the queen.
Okay, she showed her boobies.
300
in
for that,
didn't she? I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
I'm not sure.
Oh, all right, continue.
I don't know. She was also in The Brothers Grimm, The Cave. Let's see, nothing worth watching.
I didn't watch The Cave, but I did see Brothers Grimm. Here. That was a disappointing movie.
Brothers Grimm.
I kind of liked it. It had its moments.
Yeah. It wasn't quite up to the standards of the Terry Gilliam pantheon of films, though.
Now, she was on an episode of MacGyver, so I will give her props there.
Dude, how old is she? She must be older then.
Yeah, she's an older lady. Well, Sarah Connor's supposed to be an older lady.
Well, when is the story? When is what part of Sarah Connor's
life? Well, you know, Scott, she was probably a kid once.
Well, no, I get that.
She could have been an older lady. MacGyver,
she was born in 1973, so what does that make you?
Older than her. but I have a question about that.
All right.
Is this what time frame does this show cover? When is this happening? Is this after Hicks gave her the baby and gave her the sperm?
Who the don't you remember? It doesn't matter. The whole thing is, you know, all about time travel anyway. So I mean, does it really matter when it was placed?
Oh, well,
they could rewrote the whole story.
That was Hicks, right?
Have but
I got that right?
It says plot outline says set after the events in Terminator 2, Sarah Connor and her son John trying to stay under the radar from the government as they plot to destroy the computer network Skynet in hopes of preventing Armageddon.
I have some concerns. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't seem like this is... Are they going to have Terminators come after them? Because that's cool. Like different models and stuff. If they do that kind of stuff, I'm down. But if this is just, come on, son, we need to move to another town. We've worn out our stay here. Oh, mom, when can we be free of this tyranny and terribleness? Oh, son, and roll credits. That's lame.
Well, you know, think about it. I mean, how hard can it be to show a Terminator? I mean, all you got to do is get a guy that's buff and say he's a Terminator.
Yeah,
exactly. Because he's got that whole fleshy exterior thing going on anyway. So
I mean, what I predict is that you are going to see probably some Terminators. If they're smart, they're not going to overdo it. I mean, you're not going to get like a whole bunch of Terminators. And what I predict is, although you will see plenty of Terminators, you probably won't see a lot of metal.
Yeah.
Probably just see fleshy guy and that's it.
Fleshy guy. Yep.
So to answer your question, no, we haven't seen it.
to bring it back home.
We've made a lot of assumptions about it and
but we've not seen any of it.
We don't like it. We're not even going to watch
it. Connor sucks.
Yeah.
And Brian seems to like her though.
In a way that's unnatural. You know, I will say this. I'll give it a chance. We'll try it out. We'll see how it goes. Brian, you may have to hook me up as it were.
All right.
On the pilot, but is this one of those pilots that says at the bottom all the time, property of CBS, please do not duplicate. Those are my favorites.
Yeah,
I can't even pay attention to it. Like I saw the pilot for Bionic Woman, and the whole time it had that text down there. It's ticking me off.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. That's good
Scott.
Stuff. Thanks for the email there, buddy. And thanks to Adam Christensen, who I think I'll play at the end of the show just for fun. Anyway, let's move on. Big topic today. Fun topic. One that O came up with that I think maybe would be one of our best topics. Whether or not we capitalize on it properly is yet to be seen. I think we probably will. But the idea
the idea
is this. Wouldn't it be fun to talk about some of the sidekick / sort of sideline characters in science fiction or movies that we like or sort of in the geek culture arena in general that we think are really annoying and lame? And there's going to be some of these in here that are under contention. Like there's some that I think are really annoying that O is going to completely disagree with me on. And there's one in particular that Brian thinks is annoying that may set the world on fire. So I think it'd be fun just to kind of go through these. And so you guys ready?
And nobody better not say me on the Extra Life Radio show.
No. Brian.
No,
Brian.
I think a lot more people would vote for me
now,
on that account.
The problem with these. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, I got to make a recommendation. Here it is. I picked up for the DS for $19, cheap as crap, brand new. Supports Wi-Fi and on the internet as well as local with only one copy of the game, blah, 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 blah. For the Nintendo DS, a game called Picross or Picross. I'm sure.
Okay, wait a minute. It's called P-Cross. You gotta love that.
Don't cross the streams.
It's called P-Cross.
It's a pit. Let me give you the description. A picture puzzle that you can't put down. Okay, if you could take somehow Sudoku and actually make it fun and cool, then that's what this game is. Because I hate normal Sudoku.
So you're not very good at selling stuff, are you?
Sudoku sucks. Chappy lips. I hate that game. Any form that it comes in. But this thing is so much fun.
Sudoku sucks chappy lips?
I'm having a hard time putting it down. So check out P-Cross. Picross, I guess, or Picross. I don't know how you say it.
Spell it.
P-I-C-R-O-S-S. How would you say that, you smart ass?
Picross.
What?
I said it. I'd say it Picross.
Picross. What would you say?
I think it's Picross.
Picross.
Well, somebody in the chat room was saying that it's pit for picture and cross for crossword. So picture cross, Picross.
Yeah, but it says P-I. There's only one C. So it's like P-Cross. Picross. Picrust. I don't know. Anyway,
Scott,
try
that. Hurt yourself. Just get
try,
on with.
Try this game out. It's fun. I couldn't recommend it any higher. Oh, in fact, I probably should have done this because that's what you do.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
Okay, well, I already told you how the graphics were. Anyway, check it out. I can't say about the graphics.
Actually, you never did say how the graphics.
The graphics are simple and effective. Thank you very much. Okay, most annoying characters in film, TV, and otherwise. Let's start with the granddaddy of them all. Now, I didn't get a ton of sound clips for this because we already know how irritating he is. So I got a little bit of him, and then I have a little bit of other things in the same film that make it even that much more annoying and really make everybody realize how bad episode one of Star Wars really was.
I love it.
Yeah, I know you do. Jar Jar Binks, of course, is the top of our list. We'll kind of start with the big daddy of them all and work down from there. There's some people that actually don't mind him. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's hear this clip.
That'd be me.
Yeah, let's hear this clip right here.
I've been working on a scanner to try and locate mine.
Any attempt to escape.
And they blow you up. Boom.
Ha, woo.
Has anybody ever seen a pod race? I saw your laser sword.
Howdy, hello to Clint Holfast and his Voltec KT9.
All right, I have to make apologies. I had to play Jar Jar, who's annoying, Anakin, who's just as annoying, but he's not really a side character, so I kind of had to sneak that in. And that pod race announcer guy, I want to kick between the nards as hard as I can.
Really?
The pod racer guy? Sebulba?
No. He's cool. I'm talking about the announcer two-headed idiot guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Hate that. And he's coming around the bend. Ookla, beekla, bookla. Zubba, 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 zubba. That thing sucked. That whole thing was that whole sequence, which was a great action sequence, was completely ruined by equal doses of that two-headed freak and Jar Jar saying anything. Anyway, sorry about that. I had to go off a little bit. So can we ask real quick, since we're starting with him, we should at least expand a little. What is it about Jar Jar that people hate so bad? First of all, what's your opinion of Jar Jar? I don't think you feel the same as I do.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't like Jar Jar, but I don't find him annoying as most people do. I mean, in episode 2 and 3, he's pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah.
In episode 1, well, he is a little bit more there. He's he's pretty much comic relief, whatever. I don't think he's good, but hey, he didn't ruin the movie for me, so whatever.
What did ruin it for you? Because everything else about the movie just about ruined it for me.
Was it stiff acting? I actually liked the movie very much. So, I mean, I love Darth Maul.
Oh, I do too. Best thing about the movie that saves it.
I remember walking away from that movie just in love with Darth Maul. That was just so great.
Yeah, but didn't you want to just drop kick Anakin across Tatooine as far as you could? I hated that kid.
Well, I mean, to me, the best two things about the movie were Darth Maul and Qui-Gon. I thought Qui-Gon was awesome, too.
Yeah, he was good.
So I mean, just getting to see Darth Maul and Qui-Gon fight, that to me, that was all I needed to see.
Yeah.
Rest, now, it was just... You know,
go ahead, Brian.
Whatever.
Now, Anakin didn't bother me because I finally went, oh, that's why Luke was so whiny.
Oh, I see. You saw the genetic connection there.
Yeah, so I thought he did well. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Right. Darth Maul was great. Qui-Gon Jinn was great. Here's where it fell apart for me. Those stupid Trade Federation Japanese weirdo dudes, those were lame. Anakin was terrible. Jar Jar was terrible. Padme was freaking wooden as you can get, dude. She was like a barn door acting. Who else? The little token guard black dude that followed her around in the weird leather outfit looked kind of like a dominatrix kind of gay dude. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with dominatrix gay dudes. Don't write me any emails.
Yeah, but you did say it anyway.
I'm just saying he looked a little weird. And what else? Pretty much everything else. Everything else about that movie.
You know who I thought was annoying, actually?
Who?
Anakin's mom.
Yeah, I was going to mention her. She's bad, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she was annoying.
And that fat Gungan guy, he was dumb. Stupid.
Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, the big boss or whatever his name was, I mean, you'd get to see him for a couple of minutes. But Anakin, I mean, I hate people like Anakin's mom because she had, like, this face. Like, she had this face all the time, like, oh, feel sorry for me. Like, oh, I just want to kick her in the face.
Yeah, you don't want to feel sorry for that. All right, so we'll move on. Now, here's the big shocker. I stuck with the same movie, in fact, to get this little bit, because Brian has a weird admission to make to us. Let's play the clip first.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll hear what he has to say. It's actually kind of two clips, but here it is.
Ah, hard to see the dark side is.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery. We will discover the identity of your attacker.
Okay, hold on. Here's more.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
I don't presume to.
But you do. Revealed your opinion is.
I request the boy be tested, Master.
Oh? Trained as a Jedi, you request for him, hmm?
That's the worst sentence in that movie, by the way. Okay, now, Brian, before you tell us why, I do have one problem with Yoda, and it's mostly a problem not in Empire Strikes Back or even Return of the Jedi. I actually really liked him back then. I have a problem with him in the prequels, especially the first one, because they were forcing every sentence out of his mouth had to be this backwards freaking chicken speak crap. And I understand it once in a while. It's kind of token. It's kind of interesting. But every sentence, come in this room, you must. Stand over here by him, can you do? You know what I mean? It's just freaking retarded. Okay.
Turn coming out my butt, it is.
See, that's my problem with him. Now tell us your problem.
My problem, okay, in the original Star Wars, which were actually the later Star Wars, and, you know, we're...
It's very confusing.
Anyway,
everybody knows that, Brian.
Yeah. Anywho. Well, that's a pain in my ass. I think the most annoying character in Star Wars is George Lucas, but no.
Nice.
I think that Yoda in the newer movies kind of annoyed me, because the old Yoda, to me, was much better. And the reason why is he was so much more reserved and intellectual. And when they started having him jumping around and fighting people, I mean, I didn't get it. It just didn't look very good to me.
You thought it was out of character.
I thought it was out of character. Not to mention. Okay. First of all, let's think here for a minute. Yoda says in Empire, he says that when you're 300 years old, you look good as this you will, or whatever the crap he said. Anyway, he's basically saying he's old as mud and he's walking around barely moving around. Well, it's only been 16 years.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because, but, you know, 16 years earlier,
general,
jumping around and...
I mean, in general, Star Wars has a very weird way of handling time. I mean, Anakin grows up to be the whiniest teenager ever, and Padme seems to stay static.
Yeah.
Then she basically sexually abuses him because
I
mean, she's like a whole bunch of years older than he is.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
true. So time in Star Wars is just weird.
Yeah. It's definitely goofy. But you're actually a proponent of Yoda jumping around and slicing stuff up.
Oh, I mean, I'm just a big Yoda fan, and I don't really care much for the way he talks. I mean, I can take it or leave it, whatever. But I loved it. I mean, I loved it when he fought. One big reason why I like the prequel so much is because of the fights. I am a huge fan of that style of fighting. And actually, after watching the prequels, I always had this sort of...
Wait, see, that was kind of funny. So you're a proponent of CGI puppets doing backflips, and that's a fighting style I wasn't aware was actually being used.
To me, the best fights in the prequels is Darth Maul in Episode 1. Ray Park, the actor that does Darth Maul, he actually worked in all his choreography, and I'm a big fan of his work.
I agree.
So that was awesome. I really had a lot of fun with Darth Maul fighting and the whole jumping and flipping around and stuff.
Yeah.
So when Yoda comes out and fights, seeing how, you know, I sort of identify myself with Yoda, you know, small.
Yeah.
So seeing him fight that way, it sort of made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And the way I saw it, he probably was, like this old little wrinkly little Martian, but he could flip at a tremendous expense of energy.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me. I do agree with Brian. I mean, like 16 years later, you're dying. So that fight must have really taken its toll on you.
Yeah.
That final fight against Palpatine.
Yeah.
But to me, actually, the Jedi Master that I didn't like was actually Windu. I'm not going to criticize, Sammy's acting. I'm not going to criticize Windu himself. I just thought that Windu was, he must have received some very bad Jedi training, because he was mean. He was annoying. He was closed-minded. So it's pretty amazing, because Yoda's always saying this bunch of stuff that Jedis are supposed to be, and Master Windu is none of them.
Yeah,
he's not.
The Clone Wars cartoons actually got the character better, in my opinion, than the film did.
Of Windu?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
so. So, I mean, he's supposed to be an awesome fighter and all that, but, of course, Anakin was annoying, but personally, I blame Anakin's going to the dark side on Windu.
Oh, interesting. Interesting point. I will say this. Every time Samuel L. Jackson says anything in those Star Wars movies, I expect him to finish it thusly. I want him to say, is this the one that's going to bring balance to the Force, mother effer? He never does it. Never does it. Anyway, okay, let's move on, because this will kill us. Brian, you may get some hate mail about your Yoda hate. And I kind of agree with Brian on the prequels, especially. The old one, he had a wisdom to him and a kind of a quiet reserve, and I missed that.
He was kind of like a Buddha, he just seemed very, I don't know.
He was just crazy. In episode one, I'll say this last thing about it, that it seemed to me that Frank Oz, he sounded like an invalid in bed trying to pee in a bedpan while he was doing the voice. Just kind of.
Isn't it supposed to be common knowledge that Mr. Oz did not actually remember how to do the Yoda voice?
No, I didn't know that. Is that true?
That's the rumor. Yeah.
What I've heard, that he didn't actually know how to do it anymore.
He showed up doing Fozzie and pissed
everybody
off.
Frank Oz gives me the perfect entrance for what, in my opinion, is the most annoying character in movie history.
Which one? Who?
It's another character he did.
Okay, let me think. It's going to be that weird little Jabba the Hutt little helper guy.
No.
Oh, hold on. Is it a Muppet?
Well, of course. I mean, doesn't he just like do Muppets?
Well, I don't know. Okay, well then Gonzo, maybe?
No. Gonzo's actually pretty cool.
Okay, we give up. Miss Piggy.
No, you guys remember the Dark Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Okay, the Chamberlain.
Oh, yeah, dude, the Dark lady, Crystal. The weird lady
the guy
with the
eyeball. The guy that the whole friggin' movie would go,
Oh, that guy, yeah. I forgot about that guy. He almost ruined the movie.
Every friggin' time, that guy would get on screen, he'd go,
I'm really glad you brought that one up, to be honest. That's great, because I had forgotten all about that. That's a perfect character to refer to.
I mean, he was so annoying.
Yeah, that one's terrible. All right, excellent work there. Let's move on to an obvious one.
Wonder Twin powers activate! Shape of an eagle! Form of water!
Okay, that was, of course, Gleek, the Wonder Monkey there at the end.
I don't remember that porno music playing in the background when I was a kid.
I know, that's a little odd. But you know what, dude? Those guys, that sucked. Not that anything else on the Super Friends was great.
Yeah.
But you sure soiled up the water a little extra
purple
more.
Vulcan-looking.
The Wonder Twins were interesting because, okay, he could only take form of water. Right, and that was pretty lame.
Sure.
But she could take the form of any animal she wanted, which was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
But she needed him
in
order to convert into any animal that she wanted.
Yeah.
So the way I see it, she probably just had him around for that.
Well, what was the deal? He was always a bucket of freaking water.
That's
so he can only lame. Take the form of water. That's all he can do. He can be water, he can be ice, but it has to be,
has to be in a bucket, which they always seem to have hanging around. I think that's what Gleek the Wonder Monkey was even there.
I say the monkey stuffs that bucket up his, you know, backside.
Yeah, which is what you really want in the end, so to speak. Okay, so Wonder Twins, they suck, but that doesn't mean we want to leave out who I think is actually the most annoying character of all time. I'd even put him above Jar Jar. And
Solomon Grundy.
No. Solomon Grundy's awesome, man.
Well, I mean the whole Justice League, you know, those guys, they have some very lame characters.
Oh yeah, they're terrible
all around. I mean, let's not forget Aquaman.
Yeah, and the guys in the chat room were just brought up. What's his name? Apache Chief again. We've talked about him before.
Apache Chief.
He sucks.
Apache Chief.
Cheetor or whatever her name was. She was bad.
Why the crap would Aquaman have a jet ski?
I don't know, dude.
Like Superman having a plane.
I don't know. Doesn't
work.
All right, so here's my most annoying character of all time right here.
Holy hallucinations, Batman. It looks so real.
Hey!
Gleek!
Batman!
What's going on?
You need to be taught some manners, whatever you are. Robin, the Bat Bolas.
Are we listening to porn here?
All right, so that stuff is great fun to listen to. There's no question that stuff's fun to watch. But Robin sucks, and that clip has the added benefit of the Wonder Twins being in the clip with him. But they were, you know, I got to give you some background. That was the Wonder Twins and Batman and Robin all in the Batmobile. The Wonder Twins were in the back seat with the monkey, and they were watching. They're at a drive-in movie together on like a Saturday night, all in costume and stuff. I just can't believe we used to consume that entertainment as kids. That's terrible.
Yeah, and then people whine and pout when they make a movie out of them and they change them.
Exactly. I'm thinking
that's,
you know,
so bad it's good. Come on.
I agree. It's terrible. It's great.
Well,
but
you know, it's not so much Robin himself. I actually hate the whole concept of superhero sidekicks altogether.
Yeah, he kind of just represents them, but there's plenty of them out there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's the ultimate one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
I mean, occasionally they get smart and they do something fun like Nightwing, and or they'll do something like Teen Titans, where they kind of use Robin in a different way, and it's kind of more cool. But not very.
There's supposed to have been several Robins throughout Batman's history, and Nightwing, I mean, Nightwing himself is pretty cool, but he will always have been Robin, and that's, I mean, the guy wore shorts.
Yep, he wore shorts. He had a yellow cape.
Short shorts, which is even worse.
Yeah, it's terrible. Robin's terrible. I think we can all agree on it. We've talked about this guy on the show before. I guess he's a guy now. He's old. He's like Brian's age. I was watching.
Which is still younger than you, huh?
I was watching Temple of Doom the other day. You can't leave out Short Round. Here's his clip.
Wow! Holy smoke! Crash landing!
Short Round, step on it!
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones, hold on to your potatoes!
Crying out loud, there's a kid driving the car!
Hey, Dr. Jones, no time for love! We've got company!
All right. Dude.
Yeah, I can't believe you hate Short Round.
All right, no, listen, it's not that I hate Short Round. I don't want my Indiana Jones movie to have comic relief in it, other than Indiana
what do you
Jones
mean?
Himself.
Indiana Jones is like all comic relief.
No, he's funny. No, don't get me wrong. I think Harrison Ford can pull it off. There's other little things during the thing, but they had another, speaking of monkeys, that monkey in the first movie was stupid. The girl drove me crazy. I know she's in the new one, but when she was trying to be funny, she wasn't. In the second movie, Short Round was just there for, I don't know, just to be a stereotyped Asian kid. People yell at me for Ding Pong, dude. Go and yell at that kid for doing what he did. My gosh.
Well, you see, that the thing is, Short Round is Asian. So,
yeah. And my least favorite thing about the third movie was the dude that helped.
Old guy?
Yeah, the old guy that worked at the college or the university with him. They used him for way too much humor.
What
crap.
Was his name?
I don't remember. And then the other guy, the Gimli guy's okay. He can kind of get away with it. But I thought that Sean Connery was dumb in that movie. I'm sorry, everybody. I think he was dumb in that movie. It was just for laughs. It wasn't that cool. The only thing he did cool is laying in his own blood, repeating over and over in a whispered voice, "The penitent man no pass. The penitent man no pass." Blah, blah, blah.
We named the dog Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana. Indy. Anyway, dumb, lame, stupid.
I like Short Round. He was cool. I mean, I had already seen him as what's his, the name of his character in the Goonies?
Schling.
Data. And he was my favorite Goonie. So.
So you were prepared to continue.
Yeah,
I mean,
the guy is an inventor. How cool is that?
Yeah, no, that's cool. Okay, let's do this. Let's now play this one. And you guys have to agree with me on this one. Well, maybe you don't. But The Fifth Element's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
But it had this guy in it.
Miranda! Here he is, the one and only winner of the Gemini Crockett Contest. This boy is huge. Like fire. So start melting, ladies, because the boy is
actually know that word for word.
Right size, right build, right head, right on.
Right on, right on.
All right, that's all I'm playing to that. I freaking hate Chris Tucker in that movie.
Oh, I love Chris Tucker.
No, he is awesome in that movie, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
I'm going to tell you why.
After this break.
why Ruby Rod is so amazing in The Fifth Element and why he is so important.
All right, do it. Tell me.
Ruby Rod in The Fifth Element is pretty much the representative member of futuristic society. I mean, he is like... he is pretty much the how do you say it? He represents everybody in the future. He is the guy that people admire. He represents the way people move, talk, act, everything. He is like the whole people from that future gathered into one single person. So he is very, very, very important to the movie. I mean, look at all the stuff that he does, the way he dresses, the way he speaks, and yet he gets all the women. He pretty much, just the way the scenery shows you what the future is like, and this, the way the clothes shows you what the future is like, Ruby Rod represents what the people of the future are like.
He represents my inability to ever see a Chris Tucker movie again without thinking of that freak show. I can't do it. Brian, do you feel the same as you kind of like him?
He's one of those kind of guys you love to hate.
Yeah.
He's so annoying.
Yeah,
his high pitched voice, just all that energy. You just want to choke him. But yeah, it's exactly. It's
well, I rest my case. I want to choke him too.
Well, no, but you see, it's no fair if he was supposed to be annoying.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like if the character is placed there in the movie to annoy you, and he annoys you, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, that's a good
but
point.
I don't think they wanted Jar Jar to annoy you. Not at first.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more annoying people and how annoying it was I just cut O off in mid-sentence. That'll be good times. So hang in there, folks. We'll be right back when our show continues.
Bolter, there's nothing that you and your Cylon friends can do to combat the powers of which you speak.
What do you know of these powers? They defy description.
I know these powers as well as I know you, Bolter.
You do not know me. Who are you?
I'm Count Ibley, and I will lead these people away from your ruthless pursuit.
Hosts Gone Wild.
Welcome to the latter half. We're not doing it in thirds today, because we just got to keep the show going. We got to keep it moving, keep it moving. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk about more annoying people. Okay, I personally think this guy's annoying. Again, we're going to have some differing opinions here. But Sam, as played by... my brain just went dead. Who is it?
Quantum Leap?
No, Sam Wise Gamgee. Sam.
Oh!
What's his name again?
Rudy. What's wrong with
Sean you? Austin.
Sean Austin, whatever. Here it is. This is him.
I don't know.
Mordor. The one place in Middle-earth we don't want to see any closer. It's the one place we're trying to get to. It's just where we can't get. Let's face it, Mr. Frodo. We're lost. I don't think Gandalf meant for us to come this way.
He didn't mean for a lot of things to happen, Sam. But they did.
All right. Lame.
Come on.
Look, he looks like he's going to kiss Frodo every damn time he looks into his face.
Well, I mean, in the book, it's even worse.
I know.
It's more Goonies.
Come on. I realize this. I realize the fact that he actually is pretty good with the character. Maybe my problem is with the character. But he's just so... oh, Mr. Frodo, let me carry your stuff and freaking kiss you behind the ear twice. I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
I agree with that.
He's Sam. He's his gardener.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, it's supposed to be a story of friendship and loyalty and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm crazy about Sam, but I mean, he's okay.
I think that was partially due to the. I don't want to fault the Lord of the Rings movies because I really liked them, but there was a lot of times when there was just I just got Frodo's face just melded into my mind where he's got these sad little eyes just raised up and they're always constantly every 5 minutes they would stop the movie and they would just talk about I miss the Shire and I love you and it started getting on my nerves after a while.
If somebody had to get on my nerves in the Lord of the Ring movies, and not saying that he did because I love everything about those movies, it would have been Frodo. With what forever, after the Lord of the Rings, I got a new term, which is Frodo eyes. I mean, each and every time you're starting to go crazy and losing it, you get Frodo eyes.
Yeah.
And actually, at a certain point, Frodo eyes could have gotten sort of annoying. He every single time something would happen with the ring, he'd get these sort of Frodo eye thing going on, and you go crazy again. And I personally hate it in movies where the main character starts to turn against his friends. I mean, that happens all the time. We've seen it happen so many times. Okay, you're turning against your friend again.
Yeah.
We know you're going to reconsider later on in the movie, so.
Yeah, it's pretty cliche thing to do. However, I would have actually said that Frodo annoyed me more, but I was sticking to the whole sidekick thing, so that's why he got it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to The Matrix, because there's a guy in there that I can't get past every time I watch it. I know, you don't agree with me on this one either. But I'll play it anyway. Here's a clip from everyone's favorite Dingleberry in The Matrix. That would be Tank.
Morning. Did you sleep? You will tonight. I guarantee it. I'm Tank. I'll be your operator.
You don't have any holes?
Nope. Me and my brother Dozer were both 100% pure, old-fashioned, homegrown human, born free right here, in the real world. Genuine child of Zion.
Zion?
If the war was over tomorrow, Zion's where the party would be.
Shoot him and his brother Dozer in the face.
What is your problem, dude?
He is so annoying, dude. The whole movie, I kept thinking to myself, who bugs me here? Well, it's pretty much just Tank. No, everybody else is great.
I'm not saying Tank was cool. I'm just saying he's irrelevant. I mean, he doesn't annoy me.
He's so irrelevant.
I'm like, woohoo, more Tank, but I'm not. I mean, he doesn't annoy me either.
Look, I don't like who took his place either. And the second one, that Harold Perrineau guy that's on Lost, plays Michael.
He
annoyed me too. So it's not that. I think it's that role. It's something about the guy that has to run the computer and send everybody back and forth and kind of be the little. I don't know.
Well,
he's
kind of necessary that way.
He's like the Scotty engineer guy in this movie, and I just wanted to. I was really happy when what's his name shot him, and then when he got back up, I was pissed.
I mean, if I had to pick an annoying character from The Matrix, I mean, if I had to shoot one of them, I'd shoot Trinity.
Oh, I like her, dude. Are you kidding me? She's hot.
She's hot?
Well, not hot.
She's absolutely skanky.
Not hot in the traditional hot sense. I mean, there's
in what hot sense are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Utah sense.
No. I mean the way that
Are we talking about getting some lard and doing your hair with it?
No.
That's kind of like the way Trinity would be hot.
It's because she's tough, dude. Her scene in the beginning of the first movie where she's flying through windows and jumping all over the place, that kind of makes her hotter than she'd be otherwise. That's all I'm saying.
It's those tight leather pants, let's face it.
Well, it is that. Every time I watch that movie, I think, man,
I'll
bet those people stink when they're done, when they're all done working for the day.
Yeah, they have to.
They come peeling off all that leather, and you're like, oh, dude, who let the goat in? Pretty bad. Anyway.
The only thing I like about Trinity is when she stands there and she goes, touch this. No, that's it. After that, I could care less about her.
Really? You had a problem with that?
Yeah. I love the way she's standing there, too. It's like she sneaked up on this agent and was able to make this big, goofy standing situation thing.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well. Well, the control in the Matrix. All she needed to do was take that into the control center and beat Tank down, dude. Take them down.
You know, I've always wondered. I never bothered to look. Isn't she older than Keanu Reeves?
Yes, she's older. She's older by a few years, but not much, I don't think.
I'm just thinking that Neo got together with her because there was nobody else to get together with.
Have you seen?
I mean, it was either her or Morpheus
or Dozer. Yeah, one of the two.
Have you seen Lawrence Fishburne lately? He's a big husk of a man these days. Looks like a big dried up tree.
Well, you don't even have to look at him there. Yeah. Just look at him in the second movie when he stands up in front of all of Zion and just lets his gut hang out.
People of Zion, I appreciate the food.
Yeah, people of Zion, look at my gut.
Yeah, he was.
Let the machines take this.
Somebody in the chat room says he was.
What did he get fat on anyway? Albeit is like this glop every day. Yeah, he gets fat.
Someone in the chat room mentioned that he was really big in Mission Impossible 3, and I'm pretty sure that's the last thing I saw him in too. And he looked, I don't know about huge, but he just looks like a big tree, like a big
he's
tree
a big guy.
Man. Yeah.
Period. Yeah,
like he's made out of wood. It's weird. Anyway. So let's see. That's all I had for clips. Let's start with OO. Give us some more names. You say you've got. You told me before the show you had one that just beat them all.
That was the Chamberlain. But there's another one I've got.
Oh, we already made you give that up. I feel bad. Sorry.
It's Snarf.
Snarf. Oh, Snarf.
Snarf.
Yeah. Snarf is terrible. I forgot about that.
Snarf. I mean, Snarf. The Thundercats was absolutely awesome. Except for Snarf.
Yeah, well, that's true of all of them. He-Man had that stupid ghost thing.
Somebody actually mentioned them in the chat room earlier.
The Smurfs had Smurf it.
Orko, that's it. Orko. Yeah, Orko the killer whale. Also, I noticed this. I noticed this about, this is true of anime, period. I know we've talked about this before, but I'll say it one more time. In every anime, there's a crazy old man.
Yeah,
that says stupid jokes.
I love those crazy old men.
I know, and you
always have an underwear fetish.
Yeah, so let's throw that out there as the big blanket one. You can just lay over the top of all of anime, and that works for me.
Anyway. I love them.
I hate those things. They're always just freaking out and jumping around and riding on your back and stuff. I don't know.
They're old men. That's what they're supposed to do.
And Ghost in the Shell. Someone asked. That's probably one where I don't remember seeing one of those guys, but.
Well,
it's
very different. I mean, Ghost in the Shell is pretty different from most.
Yeah, the sensibilities of that movie is not your typical piece of crap anime. All right. So anyone else? You have any others?
Let the hate mail flow in.
Yeah, let that hate mail flow in, baby. Do you have any more O that you could think of?
Well, let's go with some of Brian's because, I mean, the man hates Yoda, so...
Who else do you hate?
All right. We're going to get a little away from the science fiction area here, and we're going to talk about chips. Now, you may think that I wouldn't like Punch.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm a big fan of Punch.
Poncherelli is your man.
John Baker. Officer John Baker. I mean, really.
Yeah.
He's annoying.
That's awesome.
I hate his little flyback bangs, things he's got going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. They could have had the whole they could have had chips without him entirely, if you ask me.
Well, don't forget about Boxy, by the way. We forgot about him.
Oh, yeah, can't forget about Boxy. Yeah.
That's back to science fiction a little bit, but it reminds me of of John for some reason. I'm kidding. It doesn't at all.
If you want to talk about annoying characters, I mean, we got Star Wars, tons of characters in Star Wars are annoying, but Star Trek has its slew of bad characters also. I just started trying to pick a few from each of the each generation.
You're gonna say Wesley Crusher, aren't you, at some point?
Wesley Crusher, absolutely. I mean, he was so annoying. Any character in sci-fi that's whiny, there's always one that's just so whiny. You can't understand why things are done this way or that way, and then you have to have the whole speech to explain to him why everything is done this way. So
yeah, and don't get me wrong. I think my brain just went blank. Who plays Wesley? I know this person. I read his blog. What's wrong with me? Will Wheaton, thank you. Well, that's why we have the chat room here. People can keep me on. But I like Will Wheaton. I think he's great. I like other stuff he's done. I think Wesley was just a crappy character, that's all.
I agree. They gave him some crappy lines.
Yeah.
Also, going to the next generation, I'm going to have to say it's going to have to be LeVar Burton there, too.
Dude! He was
very annoyed.
You're going to pick Geordi over Tasha Yar, dude?
Well, she got killed, though.
Oh, they thank the freaking goodness, but while she was there, I wanted to shoot myself again. I keep wanting to shoot myself. She was terrible. But anyway, yeah. So Geordi didn't
what
like.
What was that with the later stuff? In a Geordi, what later on that he got like a vision where he could see again. He stopped wearing the goggles, or he stopped wearing the banana clip.
Yeah,
I love that banana clip that he had over his eyes. That was just great.
My daughter wears one of those now. Yeah, I admittedly Geordi's not one of my favorites, but he had his moments. He did okay. I didn't like purple headed Worf in the first two seasons. He got cooler later. He got better later, but he was kind of lame then.
What about Data?
Data
annoyed me.
Data annoyed me anytime anybody gave him an emotion chip or he played his brother Rom or whatever his name was, or Dor. What was his name here, chat room? Lore, thank you. Dor. Data was, I liked Data in the series as a whole, except when there were emotion chips involved or his dumb brother. I do not like him.
Him both on the same screen at the same time. Oh, man,
you didn't like that, huh? I didn't mind that so much. But I don't like Data in the movies. He bugs me in the movies. They make him like he's too much comic relief and too much talking, and they don't do enough other stuff. So anyway, that's just me.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg, she was fine. I'm sorry, I'm talking to someone in the chat room.
Okay. Almost every second command in almost every series has been annoying also, because they never seemed to aspire to be the captain, but whenever the captain left him in charge, they were always snotty.
Yeah, like who was the Indian, the engine?
Chipotle?
Chipotle sauce.
His name was Chipotle. I always think
is that a restaurant?
It's Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Chipotle, who I really kind of liked, actually. But
Somebody in the chat room named HBD mentioned somebody. I agree with him. I can't believe we forgot.
Who?
Okay.
Because she is one of the people that has annoyed me the most in movie history. And I'm talking about Lois Lane in Superman.
Oh, yeah. How'd you forget that? You complained so many times about that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, damn. I was just like, Superman, she's not even pretty.
Yeah.
Just let her die.
She was terrible. Bad casting, bad everything. That was dumb. I'm in complete agreement with them. Let's see. Ernest Borgnine from Airwolf is another one I had.
Really?
Yeah, he sucks. Ernest Borgnine, dude.
Yeah,
he sucks in anything he's in my humblest of opinions.
And the reason why, and we got to go back and say, you know, even though we're complaining about these characters, I think they shaped all of these shows, but let's face it, they weren't the lead actors, so they were going to be annoying.
Yeah, and the truth is, we want them to be, you know.
Yeah.
We want to be able to watch Super Friends reruns and go, man, this is bad. And why were the Wonder Twins there? But we don't want them to go away. We still want them to be there. Now, Brian, are you a fan at all of, you mentioned last week that when we were talking about this, you're not a big fan of C-3PO or R2-D2.
Who is?
Was that you that said that? Or maybe it was
I think it was Obsidian.
Oh, that was O. You don't like the robot, as my dad said.
No, I'm not. No, I mean, R2-D2 actually...
Beep, 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 the crap.
I'm sure this goes much to your surprise.
Yeah.
But I was a much bigger fan of R2-D2 in the older movies than in the new ones, because in the new ones, he comes out with a new function each and every time. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. R2-D2, I mean, what could he do that?
Yeah.
But R2-D2, I mean, he's okay. I just never liked the fact that apparently everybody could understand him.
Except us, yeah.
Well, why the crap do you know what he's saying?
Well, that's why we needed C-3PO to walk around and crack wise every time he said something.
But it's like they couldn't decide when they knew what he was saying and when not. Apparently it's when they can read him on the ship's computer or whatever. But R2-D2, he's okay. The one I actually dislike up to the point of hating is C-3PO.
Imagine. And you know why, right? Because it all runs very strong in that part of the family, and Anakin made C-3PO.
That's right, dude. Brian, your theory's holding true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
all the annoying Skywalker kids made these crappy robots too. Robots. That's what my dad would say.
Yeah, so I mean, R2-D2, he had a purpose.
Yeah.
He could do cool stuff. I mean, he basically served on all those X-Fighters and stuff. But C-3PO, he was supposed to be a universal translator, so just keep him where he's useful, and that's it. I mean, they should have let Jabba keep him.
Do they call them? They call those X-Fighters where you come from? Is that what that is down there?
X-Wings, X-Wings.
Oh, thank you very much. I just had to clarify.
Come on, man. I'm just, you know, making it's sure. Just lapses.
Cut him some slack, man.
All right. I'm throwing one out there. I've only got a couple more. I'm throwing this one out there because it's just an obvious one. That stupid little metal owl from the Clash of the Titans needed to go.
Love that thing.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with it?
It was a metal owl, first of all. Let's just throw that out. Yeah, Brian's totally doing the thing. I mean, it was bad enough that movie had Burgess Meredith in it, who I expected any time to go, hit him with a left rock, hit him with the left. But that stupid owl, dude, that was terrible. Ustreamer 6626 says, it was a gift from the god, you a-hole. Oh, jeez. Sorry. I forgot those are real. Anyway, let's see. The market dude on episode 1 and 2, the dude that was always trying to shyster Watto. Everybody. Yeah, Watto. He's lame. We had a lot of Star Wars things in here.
And don't forget Kelly from Regis and Kelly.
Dude, I don't think anybody else in here is watching that daytime TV like you are. Regis and who? What the hell is that? I don't even know what that is. Anyway, we had a lot of great suggestions in here as well from the chat room. Some mentioned the black hole robot. Others mentioned other things. Yeah, so we appreciate that. Thanks for all that.
Now, who would you say was the star of Dukes of Hazzard? Okay, besides the car. Would you say Bo was a bigger role or Luke?
I would say Luke. Bo was the grounded alpha male. Luke was the crazy beta male type character who's out there just sort of a little more stupid and fun and kind of has a good time. And no, that's Bo. Sorry.
But it sounds like it's different. Just
well, wait, who's Bo? Who's Luke? Luke's
Bo was the blonde-headed one.
Yeah, Luke's the one that's all – this is the country singer now, but he's the one that's all serious most of the time and calms everybody down and kind of takes charge. And so I think I was more of a Bo guy, and I think that –
you were more of a bull guy, huh?
I was more of a bow man.
Bogart.
Yeah, I'm a bull guy myself.
I did get an email from somebody saying, it seems unrelated at the time, but now that we're doing this topic, it makes sense. Somebody asked me once, of all the Futurama cast, who's the most annoying? And I actually kind of had a hard time answering that. I like them all. I can't think of one that bugs me.
What's her face? Rich girl.
Married with children? Oh,
like the crap kid.
The Chinese girl?
Like her name.
Amy. Yeah. Amy.
Amy.
You don't like Amy. Right.
I mean, Amy.
Don't care for Amy.
I mean, she wasn't important enough to be annoying.
Yeah. Boop, 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 boop. He's my favorite.
Oh, you know, actually, the episodes I enjoyed the least were the ones where the kids were in.
Oh, yeah. The kids.
Those were annoying.
Damn the kids.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to bring in Rob Goobers. Everyone knows him as the songwriter for the Extra Life theme and overall a cool guy. I just like to bring him in for a second because he stayed up really late tonight. He's like, where he is, it's like 4 in the morning. And I think it'd be fun to have him in here. So I'm adding him now, and we'll get his thoughts on, I don't know, kind of an overseas perspective, because technically O isn't really overseas. He's just kind of over dirt and fences. So let's see.
I am overseas.
You're from someone else.
There is a sea between us.
But we could get there.
Yeah.
By car.
Rob, are you there? Are you there, sir? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you're right there. You've been on the show before, ever so briefly. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and if people...
Well, it's not 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say... Well, what time is it there?
Wow.
Is it 4?
It's 5:15, mister.
Oh, my Lord.
It's terrible.
So the sun's up and all that kind of crap. That's awesome.
No, I'm from the future, and I can tell in 6 hours you'll be asleep.
Very nice. Just a quick update. Those who don't know Rob is the creator of the theme and lots of other little musical here's and there's. He's also the creator of the theme of the Final Score podcast and is just an all-around talented dude. Rob, from a musical sort of background, is there anything like American Bandstand, or is there something like from your experience where you found either a supporting character or somebody involved with that show to be just annoying as heck? And then who would that be?
That's a tough one. Give me 15 minutes.
All right, sweet. You're going to find out. Awesome.
It is 5 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I expect. He's been drinking coffee for like 6 hours or something like that. He was telling me. How come? By the way, how come up so late? What's the occasion?
I'm celebrating my weeks off during the summer holiday. So I did a few tours and now I'm off.
Oh,
so
that's very nice. It's kind of your way. It's forcible jet lag is what you're giving yourself. You're thinking
that's what I'm giving myself.
Yeah, I got a little time. I think I'll pretend like I'm in Tanzania for a week or something like that.
Yeah, let's spend somewhere in EST. What do you call it? Eastern time.
Eastern time, sure. Why not? You're in New York. So you're New York. Man. So you've been touring? Is that the deal?
Yes, I've been on the road for it was just a small tour with Mick Taylor. He was an ex Rolling Stone. He was in the Stones in the 60s.
Wow. Yeah, not worthy, man. What are you talking about? You've been touring around with one of the Rolling Stones, and now you're on our crap little freaking shooting match dumb show. That's amazing. Yeah,
not wanting to be arrogant, but this is the biggest thing I ever did.
Wow. Oh, you mean doing our theme wasn't the biggest thing you ever did? I'm shocked.
Oh, come on.
Did you perform the Extra Life Radio theme on tour?
I did actually a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
Just no way.
I did.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you record that live next time? I want to hear people like screaming and stuff.
I'm going to record it. I played it with a harmonica player. He was a blues player, and we played it together. It was really fun.
That's awesome. I'm not. Seriously, we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
You are worthy because, you know, I just since 2 months, I got my own blog. And I got a few visitors a day, but I'm small potatoes compared to you guys.
Well,
so
you deserve more because the work you do for us is great. We need to hurry up and do like an Extra Life album starring Old Man Franks and Seamus and me and Brian and O, and just kind of do a compilation. That would be a lot of fun.
That's the best idea I heard today.
Yeah, and your day has been long, so that's awesome. Well,
yeah.
Well, you're welcome to swing by here anytime, dude. You're a part of the show, so we owe it to you to bring you on from time to time. If you're ever up in the late night again, you let me know.
Well, I will.
All right, man. Take it easy. Stay out of trouble. Don't drink the water.
And, well, next show, if you bring me on, I'll just record some snoring sounds. So anytime you ask me something, you just hear.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. All right, man. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you.
All right.
Okay,
what's cool about him is he's like O, but not.
What?
I don't even know what that means. But I want to thank him again. This is going to probably do it for the show, guys. We're right at the hour. Sweet. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Thanks to the chat room. Thanks for being here, guys. The next time we do a show, we'll probably do some more calls, so you'll have that to look forward to. In the chat room. Thanks to Rob for stopping by and hanging out with us for a minute. Thanks to O. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Mark and Rico and everybody else who contributes to the show. We really appreciate all that you do. Send us emails, extraliferadio@gmail.com. Visit the site, myextralife.com, and call us on the gob line. That number is 801-471-0GOB. That's 0GOB. I'm not going to be here next week, so no show. 148 will be delayed by 1 week. Sorry about that. I will be at a family reunion. We'll be back as soon as we can, and then everything's back to normal. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, ELR listeners, this is Ben from the Music Fans Group on the Extra Life Social Network with another album pick of the week. Now, a little bit of a flashback review this week for some of you who might have missed out. Now, one of my favorite bands of all time is The Wrens, a smart and phenomenally talented indie rock band who got their start about 15 years ago, not far from where I live in northern New Jersey. And their story has gotten to be the stuff of legend for music fans. A very long story short, they put out one of the best records ever with 1995's Secaucus and were dropped from their small label for not being radio-friendly enough. They plugged along for years, living with each other in a small house in Teaneck, and putting out an occasional single, and 8 years later, in 2003, finally emerged with The Meadowlands, an album that's now regarded as one of the finest of the decade. It's complicated and messy, and the vocals are often buried under the music, and the lyrics are disguised, and a lot of the time there's so many layers of guitars and instrumentation that you don't quite know what to focus on, but over time the songs unravel themselves and great parts and sections are followed by even greater parts, and the intricacy and diversity of the music is really astounding. It's challenging music, and whatever you want to put into this album is exactly what you'll get out of it, and I strongly encourage you to investigate and listen along with their lyrics as well, as they're some of the strongest around, thematically speaking. This is a phenomenal album by a classic band that literally gets better with each subsequent listen. It's one of my favorites of all time, and if you're a fan of any kind of rock music, you're sure to love it too. Take a listen to a clip of the song She Sends Kisses right now. Like what you hear, be sure to head over to iTunes or your local music store and pick up The Meadowlands by The Rands. It's out now on Absolutely Kosher Records, and I hope you enjoy.
Hello everyone, this is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. Today's movie, The Bourne Ultimatum.
Who was I?
They gave you so many identities. Cheever, Lee, Kane, Bourne. You were one of the first ones in the program.
We have a situation.
Bourne showed up on our surveillance in southern Europe.
Turin, Italy.
London. Tangier.
What's he after?
He's retracing his steps, looking for something. We need to know what it is.
Someone made me what I am. And I'm gonna find him.
This movie is part 3 of the Bourne series that stars Matt Damon as Jason Bourne, a CIA operative who is still retracing his steps to try and figure out where he came from. He hasn't recovered any memories beyond his induction into the CIA program codenamed Treadstone, which we were introduced to in the first movie. In The Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne is continuing his search to figure out who he is. There are new players in the mix here, and there are some well-known actors who are stepping up to the plate. David Strathairn comes in as the new CIA boss trying to track Bourne down. Joan Allen is the conscience of the CIA. Scott Glenn plays the CIA director. And Albert Finney appears as the doctor behind it all. And Julia Stiles also reprises her role as Nikki Parsons, the CIA on-site coordinator. Directing the whole thing is Paul Greengrass, who did the previous Bourne movie and is known as the director who did United 93 last year. Greengrass, I don't know if I really like his direction. He has a penchant for shaky cam filming, and it has shown up in both of the movies I just mentioned, and boy does it really show up here. There are times when you feel like he's just whipping the camera around just for the sole purpose of making the audience sick. It's really frustrating when the director doesn't think the audience gets the thrill of the chase just by the action alone. I understand the reason why he does it, but I think he does it way too much. Apart from the shaky cam direction, this is a great movie. You never stop gripping the seat as it takes you from one chase scene to another, and it never gets dull. Matt Damon fits perfectly into the role as a CIA operative. He's a good-looking guy, but he doesn't necessarily stand out in a crowd compared to a James Bond-type character. He makes it more believable. Also, there's no crazy gadgets that help him succeed. He really works on his wits and his skills. There's a fight scene with one of the operatives trying to kill him, which I rank as one of the best hand-to-hand fights I have seen in film. It's really, really great. Strathairn and Allen provide a great chess match on the CIA side of things, as Strathairn plays the bad cop and Allen plays the good cop. These are two actors who are great at subtle acting, and they really team up well together. If you haven't seen any of the Bourne movies, I highly recommend them. The first one is one of my all-time favorites, and the whole series is exceptional. If you haven't seen the other two, you can still enjoy this movie. It's 2 hours of pure adrenaline without making you smirk at it being way over the top the way Bond films can. I give this 5 out of 5 stars and suggest that you see it in the theater, provided you take your Dramamine along with you.
Listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you.
I remember.
I remember everything.
Terror stalks the streets as a scientist human transplantation experiment runs amok. The Astro Zombies.
It is done, Pancho.
John Carradine and Wendell Corey star in one of the most frightening horror films ever made. Watch in terror, scream in fright, thrill to breathless excitement as these skull-faced Astro Zombies strike blindly at living flesh, tearing, ripping, and killing with blood-drenched fury. Unbearable suspense and sadistic terror grip the senses as these human transplants threaten the safety of a city.
This is a very delicate situation. We are concerned with the mutilation murders that have occurred over the past 6 months. The beautiful, voluptuous, deadly, vicious Satana, a woman who would stop at nothing to gain control over the astro zombies, whose creed was kill, kill, kill.
Killing.
Between them, they created a blood-soaked reign of terror to stagger the imagination. The astro zombies, a strange, weird, unbelievable breed of living dead in human form. Their deranged, transplanted brains could only lead them to murder. Action to thrill you. Suspense to make your blood curdle. You watch in frightened fascination. Beating hearts and throbbing living brains are transplanted by a scientist whose motives are entirely dedicated to evil.
Come on. Who are you?
Watch as the vicious Satana tortures her victim. Watch as the astro zombies attack with maniacal fury. Watch as a deadly weapon cuts a head in two. Watch as the blood flows and splatters the screen. Watch the astro zombies. You will die a thousand deaths as you watch the astro zombies, starring Wendell Corey and John Carradine.
Hey, Scott, it's Adam Christensen from the MacCast just trying to call in on the Gobline here. Obviously didn't make it, but in the chat room, so I'll just follow along there. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, Scott, Brian, and Onyx, Onyxia, Obsidian. I just wanted to let you guys know that I think I do a better Jetsons car than Brian does. So my name's Roger, I love the show, and keep up the great work.
Remember, kids, the word of the day is... Quackalgacog!
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the... Damn it.
You almost said the instance.
Yeah, I did.
That is so funny.
Oh, man. So this is like calling out your mistress's name, in fact.